It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the work of training the next generation of physicians and the evolving healthcare landscape with Dr. Robert Golden, Dean of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health since 2006. He announced recently his intent to step down once a successor is named. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Golden also serves as Vice Chancellor for Medical Affairs at UW-Madison. Dr. Golden, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So UW-Madison reporting, you are one of the longest serving medical school deans in North America. Why this moment? Why are you stepping down from the position as dean?
Well, I've been thinking about it for some time. I think it's helpful for institutions every so often to get new leadership with fresh ideas. And as I thought about it, though, it was announced that our chancellor, Becky Blank, would be moving on. And I decided that I wanted to try to play a role in selecting the new leadership for campus and orienting the new leadership. And now, once again, we have an incredibly strong chancellor, an incredibly strong provost in place. The school is doing great. So I thought it was an appropriate time to pass the baton.
Can you give us any insight into what the search is like to hire a new dean?
Well, it varies from place to place. But at UW, we put into place the proud tradition of shared governance. So it's a inclusive process. The process usually takes about a year or so from start to finish. And it includes not only the school, but other perspectives within the university and among alumni and among other constituents.
Okay, so it's really a shared process, and it sounds like then you will stay in this role until that new person is named.
Yes, absolutely. I hope to welcome the new person and then step away so that they can create their vision and move things forward.
All right, you have a long lens here since 2006 as dean. What do you think is your proudest achievement?
Well, I think our school, and the achievement is really an achievement of our faculty and our staff, our school has become a national leader in advancing a new model for academic medicine. It's a model that integrates medicine and public health. And what that means is across our missions, including research, training, and especially service, we emphasize not only the diagnosis and treatment of disease, but also the prevention of disease and the promotion of health. And we really take a holistic view of not only the person and the patient, but also the population, with an emphasis on populations that struggle with health disparities. And I think this integrated model of medicine and public health is really where the nation needs to be going if we're going to really advance the health and well-being for all.
It sounds like more of a holistic approach to medicine.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because at other fine institutions, there are schools of medicine and schools of public health, oftentimes quite literally across the street from one another. But they don't really come together and have their own silos. So we want to have a real integrative approach. And along the lines of integration, another wonderful accomplishment of the institution over the last several years was the bringing together of the School of Medicine and Public Health's academic group practice with what was a hospital, now a health system. And all too often, there is unfortunately a tension between the priorities of a medical school emphasizing research and education and a health system. But we brought those together in a way that is also now a national model, so that the health system is a physician-run organization that understands the importance of bringing together both the academic missions and the clinical service missions. And I think that model also is gaining a lot of attention and is responsible for much of the success in UW Health in the past 7 years or so.
Dr. Robert Golden with us. At the end of January, Golden announced he's stepping down from the position as Dean of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Looking back at his tenure and looking ahead as well, you can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. In 2007, you helped launch the Wisconsin Academy for Rural Medicine, and this training space was created for med students just 1 year after you started your position as dean. How is this academy filling the need for rural healthcare workers?
Well, it's playing an important role in addressing the shortage of physicians in rural communities, and the way it is structured is we select students into the program based on predictors that they will, in fact, practice in rural areas. So the standards for admission are very high, but we put more of an emphasis on those things that are predictive, that they will go back to rural communities in Wisconsin. Then when they come here, their first phase of education, the first year and a half or so, is with everybody else, with some extra additional training in aspects of rural medicine. But then for their clinical years, they largely spend most of their time practicing in rural sites in Wisconsin. And the goal is to create a cohort of really well-trained physicians who will practice in rural sites, especially in our state. So far, the success has been enormous. We have a very high stick rate of graduates of the program who, in fact, practice in rural Wisconsin, many of whom going back to their home communities where they grew up. So we're very pleased that this is really making a difference. We've also layered on top of that rural residency training tracks. After someone completes medical school, you then need to complete a residency training program in areas such as family medicine, surgery, psychiatry, OBGYN. And in each of those areas, we now have rural residency tracks so that residents at UW can spend some of their residency time training in rural communities. And by doing that, they can see the attractiveness of going to practice here when they're done. So between those two programs, we are making a difference in increasing the supply of physicians. We're also very pleased that we have
I just want to jump in here, because when you mentioned the stick rate of these med students becoming physicians and then returning or going to practice in a rural area, what is a good predictor or indicator that they have the intention and that they will carry through to practice in a rural setting?
That's an excellent question. Well, first of all, where did they grow up? Second of all, what kind of activities do they do while in college or before and after college and applying to medical school? And what are their stated interests and what have they done to pursue those interests? So, for example, if somebody grew up in Rice Lake and they spent their summers while in college volunteering on the rescue squad or working in a nursing home, those are the kinds of characteristics that suggest that they are interested in rural practice. On the other end of the continuum, we also have a program, an MD-PhD program, designed to create physician scientists. And there we'd be looking for somebody who spent their summers doing research in a cancer research lab and who really is showing signs of interest in investigation and research rather than community engagement and service. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things we do so that we can predict people who, in fact, will go back to their rural communities because that's where they have a track record of electing to be engaged.
Dr. Robert Golden is Dean of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at an 18-year tenure as he intends to step aside from that role. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As UW-Madison embarks on a national search this spring for a new leader of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, we're in conversation with Dr. Robert Golden about his 18-year tenure and reflections on the academic training ground for future physicians and healthcare professionals. Call in with a question. You can share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Jane in Suamico. Jane, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask him, as I understand it, there are only 20 of 72 counties in the state that have OBGYNs. I'm wondering if the politics around reproductive health care in Wisconsin are affecting the number of people who apply for the specialty and the training the OBGYN students are getting.
Jane, thank you. Dr. Golden.
Well, that's an excellent question. We have one of the most respected OBGYN residency training programs in the country. But for many years now, we've been very, very concerned about attacks on the program because of restrictions on abortion training, which is actually a requirement to maintain accreditation of the program. So with the Dobbs decision, we had to scramble so that we could maintain our accreditation while, of course, following the law of the land. And so what we have been doing is offering training and abortion services for our OBGYN residents at a site in a neighboring state. And we'll continue to do that until there is much more clarity and stability in the situation here. What has happened is that across the country, in those states where there are tensions and restrictions on obtaining training at your home site for abortion services, there has been an impact on the number of applicants applying to programs in those states. In our case, we still attract really talented, really competitive applicants into our program. And so for now, we are doing quite well, actually. But it is a cloud that we worry will turn into a thunderstorm into the future. So it's something we maintain our alertness on and hope that we can continue to attract people here for OBGYN residency training so that they will fall in love with Wisconsin and stay here in practice and will begin to address the shortages in so many counties across the state that the caller has identified.
Will the potential for future hospital closures in Wisconsin or the closures and the consolidations of obstetrics units, will that affect the ability to produce new OBGYNs here in Wisconsin?
It shouldn't affect the ability to produce them because our training site, our UW health system, is very strong and very vibrant. So we will continue to have a strong clinical base for the training. However, it will have a damaging impact on public health in terms of OBGYN service availability, because in those areas that are not located in Dane County or in Milwaukee, where there are other academic health centers, the closure of public community hospitals and clinics makes it very difficult for there to be viable practices there. And especially in obstetrics, as you can imagine, it's important to have proximity to care so that when a woman goes into labor or in those unfortunate situations where there's a complication, time is of the essence, and having to drive a couple of hours for service can really have bad consequences. So we are very concerned about the closing of community-based systems. Recent events are of concern, not only for OBGYN, but for medical care across the board.
I want to turn our attention to research now. UW-Madison reporting that funding from the NIH, National Institutes of Health, increased during your tenure. 2006, the university receiving $135 million. And then in 2022, the university receiving $246 million. What is an example of how this funding is furthering medicine in Wisconsin?
Well, we made a strategic decision to maintain our emphasis on exciting individual projects by our faculty, but at the same time, to really increase our capacity for doing big science with very large interdisciplinary projects. And so, for example, we have a very vibrant Institute for Clinical and Translational Research, which receives a large grant to maintain opportunities for that type of bench-to-bedside translational research. And we also have several programs that are growing dramatically. Our Alzheimer's Disease Research Center has recently been renewed. One of the investigators affiliated with that, Sterling Johnson, just received a $150 million grant to do to lead a national study looking at biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease. Hmm. We are traditionally very, very strong in cancer. That's been an area of wonderful growth with our Comprehensive Cancer Center grant, the only one in Wisconsin recently getting a wonderful score and renewal. We also have traditional strengths in other areas ranging from asthma to other areas that include transplantation.
Well, let me ask you this. How dependent is the med school on this grant funding? When you discuss, you know, when you say bench to bedside, like you have to keep your position as competitive research institution. You have to keep these grants coming to keep these research projects going. But then you also have to have that training ground for med students who are at the bedside being able to deliver this type of medicine. How important are these grants?
Oh, well, they're exceptionally important in many ways. The largest source of funding for our school are these competitive NIH grants. We get much more of our budget from these competitive grants than we do from the public support from the state, which amounts to about 7% of our budget. So it's very important. But beyond the dollars, it's really important because we believe that research and education and patient care are all synergistic. Our patients benefit from access to cutting-edge treatments and clinical trials that make available promising new therapies when the current therapies are not working. We want our students to learn how to learn and to not only practice the status quo, but to be able to think to where the puck is going when it comes to cutting-edge new approaches to diagnosis, prevention, and treatment of disease. And we also think that our students bring wonderful questions. They question dogma, and that in turn can spark new ideas for research avenues to see, well, why are we doing it this way? Maybe there's a better way of doing it. And also our patients benefit from having learners and teachers together at the bedside so that they can get a variety of perspectives and opinions that can't be obtained if it's a more limited clinical care environment. So we believe that the research is important not only as a source of support for research per se, but because of what it adds to the quality of training and the quality of patient care.
Dr. Robert Golden with us, Dean of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Golden, I want to land here on artificial intelligence and what it is doing to medical training and in medical care. What benefits or problems do you see AI creating for medical practitioners?
Well, I think AI has a lot of promise, and we are pushing forward to help advance that promise. When it comes to things like scanning large data sets to look for clues as to predictors of disease, it can have applications in clinical practice in areas such as radiology and imaging, where complementing the skill of the radiologist can be a machine learning or AI approach to try to spot things that might not be immediately visible to the human eye. It's also very helpful in taking care of some of the important but mundane aspects of care, whether it's prescriptions being refilled so that doctors and nurses can practice their clinical skills rather than being so tied up with things. At the same time, like any kind of treatment, you have to worry about side effects. And as important of the science in medicine is the human touch and the art of medicine. And there are some things that a computer can't do the way a human being, person-to-person contact, can achieve, so that the entire person, the patient, is dealt with in a humanistic way that blends the science that AI can help us advance with the art and humanity of complete patient care.
Dr. Golden, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Robert Golden is Dean of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He also serves as Vice Chancellor for Medical Affairs of UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.